Hello and welcome to the Resonant Life Podcast. I am Dr. Layla Doolittle and I'm thrilled to have you join me today for an episode that dives deep into one of the most powerful yet often overlooked tools for transformation. It's your breath. We all breathe approximately 20,000 times a day, yet most of us rarely give thought to this autonomic process. It's automatic, subconscious, and yet it is one of the most powerful ways that we can directly tap into the sympathetic-parasympathetic balance in the brain and our autonomic nervous system. So let's delve into some ways that you can practically use breath work in your daily lives to support nervous system balancing and overall health and wellness. Your breath can transform your physiology, influence your emotional state. It can balance biochemistry, hormones, neurotransmitters, and it can even help with rewiring the neuroplasticity in your brain, optimizing the neuroplastic connections between neurons, the ways that the brain cells communicate. So what I want to bring to the table is the science behind breathwork and just dissect various types of breathwork techniques, so it might inspire you to start bringing this into your own life. And we'll also go into uncovering why breath is the gateway to well-being, resilience, and even this mind-body-soul type of connection of spiritual awakening, consciousness expansion, being able to be authentically, beautifully, resonantly you. So let's talk about why breath matters. The act of breathing is one of the few bodily processes that operates both automatically and under conscious control. So this unique duality is what gives us the opportunity to influence this part of our nervous system called the autonomic nervous system. This is what governs everything from your heart rate, how your heart is beating, the speed that it beats at according to outside external experiences like stressors or whenever you're in a calm, peaceful state. It also plays a role in your digestion and that parasympathetic function of peristalsis, which is the undulating movements that help with breaking down your food and nutrients that you're taking in, and helps you with your absorption of the building blocks that are required for all life force of neurotransmitters, your hormones, the communication signals, the proteins, your DNA, how crucial it is for you to have the optimized replication information that's presented to every single new cell that's created in your body. So all of these stem cells that your system is constantly producing are optimized to produce the healthiest and best version of that next cell that's replicated and diversified possible. So every single tissue gets better and is optimized when you train your breath, when you're supporting and balancing the autonomic nervous system, supporting this parasympathetic and sympathetic balance and regulation for resilience in how your body responds to stressors in its external environment, and even plays a role in your detoxification and clearing of environmental toxins and biotoxin support by boosting your immune system. So powerful, crucial that you have the support and the control to be able to do different exercises and therapies that can actually help you to control your breath work or to strengthen the way that your system has a response in breath work. Some studies that were published in Science and Nature and Neuroscience magazine reveal that this conscious breathing patterns can alter the activity of brain regions like the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex. These are key players in the emotional regulation and decision making. So your prefrontal cortex is what is like a filter for how you perceive information coming in. This is your sensory function. This is any stressors that are coming in. The way that your body perceives that if it should hyperreact, like create a hypersensitivity or have an allergy or a sensitivity such as to foods, or it can calm down and just appreciate what's coming in instead of being hyperreactive. It also helps balance the way that you're regulating whenever you have a very big response. So the amygdala is a part of your limbic system, which is one of the emotional regulation centers. And this is how you have stressors that affect you and how much resilience you have to these stressors. It's what helps to play a role in how much anxiety you'll experience and feel, or how much reactivity and fear you might experience. And this amygdala also autonomically controls that sympathetic and parasympathetic response. So it'll create hypersympathetic overdrive, where you just are in a fight, flight, or freeze mode consistently and stay in that way, even if it's subconscious and you're consciously attempting to pull yourself out of that or heal from a trauma, a bad experience emotionally that's happened in the past. And the prefrontal cortex is this region of the brain that it's a filter. It's almost like a veil, and whenever there are experiences in your external environment that come in, the way that you're perceiving these experiences, the way that you're responding to them, your behavioral control, and the way that you feel a stressor or a stressed out response, or that just doesn't really affect you, it's still very easy for you, and you cruise right through it. So that's like the resilience aspect of things. So that's the conscious and the subconscious types of responses to your external environment. So breath work, it's not just about relaxation and helping you have a stressed response. It actually creates lasting changes in the way that your brain and the body function in creating resilience. And this resilience can play a role in any emotional, mental regulation, as well as physical regulation. So how much reactivity does your system have physiologically when there's a stressor of an environmental toxin or a biotoxin coming in? Is your body reacting in a very strong way where there's an allergy to toxic black mold, and your body has this huge chaos response that happens every time that you walk into a building where there's mold? It's like called sick building syndrome. Or you walk outside and you have allergies, huge drastic responses to just some pollen that's in the air, and the foods that you're consuming that your system takes in. Like, you have a huge histamine response to just some healthy foods. It's not even that it has to be unhealthy, because high fructose corn syrup and aspartame and all these neurotoxins, obviously every single body should have a problem with that. But like, even healthy foods, some people have reactions to foods just because they have more sensitivities, because their body's in so much reactive state. So you can actually have power and control to help with regulating that and to gain more resilience, to be more dynamic in your world around you, and to not have to constantly cater to an overreactive, hyperreactive type of system that doesn't have that resilience to be able to just cruise and drift in a beautiful way or flow through life in a balanced way without having hyperreactivity. So that's what brings peace into your life. That breath work can actually help with training that response. Now, let's go into a little bit about the physiology of breath work. So what happens in your body when you engage in an intentional breath work? There is a balance between oxygen and carbon dioxide in your blood. At any given point, your system is getting a response and a feedback that tells it, should I breathe more? Should I breathe deeper? Should I take a nice big breath and do like a nice little sigh, or maybe take a longer, slower breath more intentionally? And that can be a subconscious thing. And the primary role of breathing is to help with balancing the oxygen and the carbon dioxide exchange. So you bring in oxygen and then you expel the carbon dioxide with your exhalation. And techniques like diaphragmatic breathing help optimize this exchange. So it enhances the oxygen delivery to the tissues and removes the waste products more efficiently. This process is crucial for mitochondrial function. These are the little organelles that are the powerhouses of your cells. This is what produces ATP. This is one of the energy molecules needed for every single process. Every time that there's a physiological response, every time there's a neurotransmitter getting produced, a hormone getting produced, any communication signals, any little proteins, any ligand, it's all very important that you have these little energy molecules. It's like fuel for your entire system. And oxygen is required for that production. And so your body needs plenty of it, and we want to optimize the way that your cells are carrying the oxygen. So the red blood cells, how are they actually grabbing onto it? The receptor sites, are they making a strong bond with the oxygen to carry it? And are they doing healthy release whenever they get to that distal organ or tissue or wherever they were headed to drop off the oxygen? Are they efficient in this process so that they're making the process more seamless and smooth? And is your blood, is it viscous and thick endures it to fluid, and it's able to squeeze through the capillaries. Like, the red blood cells actually have to fold up and squeeze to be able to move through them to get out into the tissues, and then they come back in, and then they get back into the bloodstream to go back and to do their job, to constantly be flowing around the body. So this is the way that your body actually makes healthier exchange of the oxygen to carbon dioxide, as well as healthier exchange of any of these toxins that the red blood cells are supposed to pick up, or that your body's supposed to be carrying, supposed to be clearing into the lymphatic system. Your body can actually do that in a much better way, a much more efficient way. And that oxygen exchange for the oxygen to carbon dioxide ratio, it's actually strengthened, because what you do is you do intentional type of breathing. Maybe you're hyperoxygenating, or you're hypooxygenating, maybe you're helping with increasing your amount of carbon dioxide in holds. You're helping to increase that amount for a little bit, just for a short amount of time, that your body can be introduced to these new states of hypoxia, so that when your body is getting attached to the oxygen again, then it's much more efficient, and your red blood cells are more efficient in that exchange process. It's like training response. Do you know that your red blood cells live for about 72 days? That's the typical lifespan of a red blood cell. And these red blood cells are getting produced from your bone marrow, and your body is like training them in the process, and they are born as little progenitor, like reticulocytes is what they're called, like baby red blood cells. And then they are being trained, just like you train your body whenever you're working out, exercising, moving, creating different types of lifestyle type learnings like Qigong flows or yoga flows or something. That's all a training response. You have this muscle memory. Well, same thing whenever we're talking about functions for red blood cells. And whenever you're having these new baby red blood cells getting produced, you're actually creating stronger and healthier versions of the red blood cells that are much stronger with their receptor site attachments to the oxygen and delivery to the distal tissues or organs or glands. And that's where, if you do breath work consistently and regularly over the span of a couple of months, you'll notice bigger changes. You'll see a bigger response in how your system is just physiologically functioning. And this helps with every type of function in your body. So think of functional medicine. But if we think of all the different organ systems that we're wanting to optimize, this helps every single one of them. And what we also can think about is the immune system function. We know white blood cells live on average about 180 days. That's their lifespan. And your thymus helps with the differentiation process. And you have different percentages of white blood cells that get trained or differentiated, where there are different types, like, for example, eosinophils or macrophages or lymphocytes. What happens is each of these different white blood cells, they have different targets. So they can target different biotoxins. They can target different types of environmental toxins, of like helping to clear it. They can help to kill off cancer cells. They help with protection if there needs to be inflammation in an area, which is a good thing whenever, say, we have an injury and your body needs to come in and heal. And so there are so many wonderful functions that these white blood cells do. And it's the same thing. Breath work actually helps with this training process and helps the white blood cells to functionally be taking care of their job much better. And over the course of 180 days, you'll see a stronger and healthier and better immune system function in everyone who's practicing this intentional type of breath work. Let's talk about some biometrics, like heart rate variability. I love measuring heart rate variability. It's a beautiful way to see how the brain is connected to the heart and what the heart coherence is showing as far as how the response is. And it's a very physiological type of marker. And it doesn't always indicate directly if somebody's in wellness or not. It's just very beautiful to help to optimize it, because it's one of those markers that we can say someone is generally more healthy, more resilient when they have a stronger and healthier heart rate variability, like higher heart rate variability. So at night, that's usually whenever we're measuring the heart rate variability, and it can go above 250 if you're really healthy, or it can go down to, on average, like 20 to 30, and just depends on how somebody's system is regulated. So breathwork practices like coherent breathing, where you're inhaling for 6 seconds and exhaling for 6 seconds, improves the heart rate variability. And then if you do a 3 second inhale and a 6 second exhale, then that's maybe more parasympathetic function stimulation. And we go into different forms of breathwork and different types of breathwork to target just different systems of your body. And then biometrics can alter and change. So heart rate variability, this is a measurement of the body's ability to adapt to stress. So this is like the resilience. And the higher the heart rate variability, it's associated with more of that resilience, longevity, and reduced risks of chronic diseases. Let's talk about how breath work actually helps with optimizing the nervous system regulation. So slow and deep breaths stimulate the vagus nerve, and especially diaphragmatic breathing. What the vagus nerve does is it innervates all of the abdominal organs and supports the way that your system is having healthy peristalsis, healthy digestion, healthy normal function throughout every system in your body. And this promotes relaxation, recovery, and shifts you into a parasympathetic state. So techniques like alternate nostril breathing or Nadi Shodhana in yoga are particularly effective for helping with balancing the nervous system. And I'll go into different types of techniques in a little while so I can share with you how you can use different techniques at different times for different functions. Physiologically, you also will have a change in the alkalinity of the body. Like, for example, practices like Wim Hof breathing, they temporarily lower carbon dioxide levels, and this causes a mild alkalinization of the blood. And this shift has been shown to reduce inflammation and increase resilience to cold exposure, and also resilience to nervous system stress. And the neuroscience behind the breathwork, it's directly impacting the brain in so many ways throughout neuroplasticity. So while you're doing breathwork, it's so important to also just keep a mindfulness level. Like, it's great time to pair meditations with the breathwork, or just practice very mindful type of focus so that you're not thinking about during your breathwork all of the things that you need to do for the rest of the day. What are all the activities and tasks and duties that are waiting for you? Keep that out of your brain during the time that you're doing intentional breath work, because you're reinforcing neuroplasticity. And so it's very important that you have a positive, peaceful, happy mood. Not meaning that you wait to do breath work until you're in a positive mood, because actually breath work will shift you into a positive mood. It will help your nervous system to regulate. So actually, let's reframe that. Focus your intention on getting yourself into as peaceful of a state as possible, and feel the gratitude for you taking your time to be intentionally in this place that you're doing the breath work, and feel the gratitude for how your body can heal, for your nervous system, how it can regulate. Just feel that love and appreciation, that self-love, that self-respect, that self-nurturing. Make sure that you're experiencing those beautiful overflowing emotions of bliss, joy, and happiness, and peace, and harmony, resonance. And those feelings and emotions will help you with reinforcing those beautiful neuroplastic bonds. And that's one of the other reasons why it's definitely great to do like guided breathwork sessions with guided meditations as an overflow if you like that and if you resonate with that, because then it's helping you to get out of your own head sometimes if you are in one of those perseverating loops of negative thoughts or concerns or doubts or fears or worries or whatever it is that's on your plate. If there's too many things piled up on your plate and you're too in your head, then it's good to shift out of that with this healthy nervous system regulation type of breath work. Let's talk about different areas of the brain and how breath work can directly influence these areas. The amygdala is the area of our brain that has more of a fear and stress center and anxiety center, and breath work can reduce the activity in this amygdala, and it can help with enhancing the connectivity in the prefrontal cortex area. And this is an area of the brain that helps with your perception of stressors as they're coming in and how your body responds to the stressors. Like, how does it react? Does it have resilience and regulation to that reaction? And it also helps with strengthening the amount of rational thinking, of just being able to rationally think and feel from a higher mind. The higher mind is more in tune typically with your true authentic nature, how you truly feel, like with your soul and how it expresses, rather than just the reactivity of what stress responses you've had throughout the past, how you've been reacting throughout the past, and it helps you to have more reactions from a healthier mindset shift that is more of a futuristic type of thing of building and having that growth type of mindset so that you're moving forward, shifting out of that fear center and irrational type of reactions and hyperreactivity. So this is one of the reasons why breathwork can help people significantly with traumas and anxiety and PTSD and the ways that they've experienced a lot of like past stressors and traumas and the way that their system has been in a sympathetic overdrive. So this is one of the things that we would want to target, especially with some wonderful mindfulness and trauma clearing type meditations at the same time. Neuroplasticity, we've referenced a couple of times already. So this is the connection and wiring between different synapses, between the neurons. This is where the communication happens between them. And we actually train in more neuroplastic connections, more synapses to connect and create like a neural network. And you can train where the neuroplasticity is in certain types of loops or pathways in the brain, rather than the areas of the brain that may need to be snipped away. So some of the areas that you don't need those neural connections anymore. So this is like a pruning effect with neuroplasticity. It's either a positive neuroplasticity or a negative neuroplasticity, meaning that when your brain is finished with a certain thought pattern or certain limiting belief, or you're no longer using an area anymore, maybe you just don't study that subject as much, or you transition to a different type of job, a different role, a different career, and you just don't need all those types of memories and neural connections is what you used to use anymore. Well, it prunes that away. If you don't use it, you lose it. And that's a good thing in so many ways, because then you're conserving your neural energy for transforming mindsets, beliefs, and memorization, and all of the things that you can bring in, like the wisdom that you're bringing in and the ways that you want to shift forward. It actually is powerful because slow and deliberate breathing, where you're intentionally breathing, it actually promotes the production of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, the protein that is critical for neuroplasticity. And this means that breathwork can help you with rewiring your brain in those neuroplastic pathways, especially when you're intentionally thinking about the new patterns and the new philosophies, the new thoughts, and the new visualizations or meditations. And it helps to replace those old limiting pathways with the new and empowering ones. It's interesting because you can actually have an impact on brainwaves as well. So techniques like the Sudarshan Kriya breathwork techniques have been shown to increase gamma brainwave activity. And this is associated with emotional states of awareness and bliss. And so this could help with mental clarity, you feeling more like yourself and being able to really click in and express in a beautiful way. And then the bliss and emotions of joy and peace and harmony, where you can shift yourself into one of those mood states. Let's go into a couple of the powerful breathwork techniques and their physiological effects and step-by-step instructions on how to practice them, as well as I will reference a few areas that you can actually join me in these different breathwork techniques, along with the meditations and visualizations for optimizing neuroplasticity in various lobes of the brain, pathways of the brain, as well as in the mind, body, and soul types of connections. So really optimizing how your system is bringing in information and putting out information, expressing itself, as well as how you're able to navigate through life. So diaphragmatic breathing, the purpose is for reducing stress. It helps lower blood pressure. It can improve oxygen exchange. And the way that you practice this, you either sit or lie down in a comfortable position. And you can place one hand on your chest and the other one on your abdomen. And then you'll inhale deeply through your nose and allow your abdomen to rise while keeping your chest still. So you want to feel the hands on your chest be still while your abdomen pushes out and rises as far as possible. And then you'll exhale slowly through your mouth, letting your abdomen fall. So take a few of these breaths in and release. And feel what that feels like, to feel that connection between your chest and your abdomen, and to intentionally be breathing into the abdomen, not the chest. So for a beginner, you'll practice for 5 minutes a day, three times a day. It's great if you're able to get that in. For more intermediate, you can extend it to 10 minutes, focusing on 4 second inhale and a 6 second exhale. And then for more advanced practitioners of this, you can add a brief breath hold of 15 seconds after each inhale. Now with this, it's also helping with like a little lymphatic massage around your abdominal organs. So it can be very beneficial for helping with the detoxification and clearing around these regions if you're in a functional medicine journey of wellness, working on optimizing your abdominal organ function. Now, this next technique that we'll present is about box breathing. This will help with enhancing focus, reducing stress, and balancing the autonomic nervous system. So on this one, you'll inhale deeply through your nose for 4 seconds, hold your breath on inhale for 4 seconds, and then breathe out and exhale for 4 seconds, and then hold your breath upon exhalation for 4 seconds. It's nice because your head is focused on how to do this breathwork pattern. So oftentimes as you're doing these counts, you're really focusing on that. So it gets you out of your head where you could be in a stress response or you may have had a long day. For the beginner, you'll perform 4 rounds. Intermediate, you'll increase to 6 seconds per phase and then complete 6 rounds. And for advanced, practice for 10 minutes and increase each phase to 8 seconds. So you can do 8 seconds for each of the phases of the box breathing. Now, box breathing, one interesting fact about it is that it was used by Navy SEALs to maintain focus while under stress because it helps so much with reducing of the sympathetic nervous system activation. So especially whenever they were doing their intense SEAL training, they would practice this quite regularly. This next technique, I'm sure you all have heard of this method. This is called the Wim Hof method. So the purpose of this is to boost immunity, reduce inflammation, and increase energy. And it's able to actually enhance cold tolerance, which is one of the reasons why it's also been famous all over the world, in addition to it just being an incredible type of breath work for helping with so many different physiological and wellness functions. And the way that you could practice this is by sitting or lying down, and then you'll take 30 deep breaths. And after the 30th breath, exhale completely and hold your breath for as long as possible. When you feel the urge to breathe in, inhale deeply and hold for 15 seconds. Now, what you'll do is you'll repeat the cycle 3 times. And for beginners, you can go down on the level. You don't need to do as high of an intensity. You can perform 2 cycles with 15 to 20 seconds of breath holding. And then for intermediates, you can increase that up to 3 cycles and then hold your breath for 45 to 60 seconds. And then for advanced, you could perform 4 cycles and aim for 1 to 2 minutes worth of breath holding. And you'll probably notice that after you've practiced for a couple of weeks, your breath holds just become much easier to hold longer. Now, I love Wim Hof breathing because this particularly helps with so much mental clarity and cognition. I actually practice this type of breath work through my morning routine. And I love to have a little journal or notepad right next to me because some of the insights and inspiration that comes through is often this like subconscious or superconscious type of clarity around this inspiration and creativity that I don't often see otherwise. It's just like, it's so powerful. It oftentimes is something that's very present in my mind. If it's a project with work, with the business that I'm really wanting to bring some creative approaches to, or an inspiration that of something that I love, that I'm passionate about, that I'm wanting to create more of in my life, and even like programs and inspiration for courses and things like that, that I just want to come up with more creativity and more ideas, it oftentimes comes through with that. So it's a great time to have some good journaling prompts and some other ideas, and then also for your own wellness journey to have creativity in it, and also to just really feel and listen to yourself, listen to your subconscious mind or that superconscious mind even. This is a perfect opportunity. So have a journal next to you and appreciate that time. Now, there's another interesting technique that is called alternate nostril breathing, or Nadi Shodhana. And the purpose of this is to balance the brain hemisphere. So we have two different sides of the brain, and it's attached and communicates between the sides through the corpus callosum. So the cross-cortical activity is actually optimized in the communication between the hemispheres of your brain with this type of breathwork pattern. It helps with calming the mind, shifting into a parasympathetic state, and improves focus and mental clarity. So the way that you practice this is you sit comfortably with your spine straight, close your right nostril with your thumb, and inhale through your left nostril. Then you'll close your left nostril with your ring finger and release your thumb, and exhale through your right nostril. So then what you do is you just keep on alternating back and forth between these two. And this helps you to switch the sides. So you close your right nostril with your thumb and inhale through your left nostril. Then you'll close your left nostril with your ring finger and release your thumb and exhale through your right nostril. Then inhale through your right nostril and switch sides to exhale through the left. And just continue just like that. That's the rhythm. Now, as a beginner, you can practice for 3 minutes with a natural breath pace. And for intermediate, extend it out to 5 to 7 minutes, inhaling for 4 seconds and exhaling for 6. For advanced, you'll add a brief breath hold between nostril switches. The next one is called holotropic breathwork, and this is amazing because it can help with accessing altered states of consciousness for emotional, mental, and spiritual healing. So the way that you'll practice this is lie down in a safe, quiet space and begin with rapid, deep breathing through your nose, keeping your rhythm steady. You'll continue for 20 minutes worth, allowing any emotions and sensations to surface. And you don't have to do all 20 of the minutes all together. Sometimes what will happen is you'll start noticing a little lightheadedness, and you'll also notice that all of a sudden it's like your consciousness kind of goes and shifts into a trance state or a subconscious zone. That is where the regeneration and healing neurologically is coming in, and emotionally, mentally. And then you notice that your breath just goes autonomic. So your medulla oblongata in the brain, which is the breath center, this is what controls your breath on the autonomic nervous system, and that's automatic. Trust in that process, because then it just takes over for a little bit. Then you may notice that you awaken or you come back to, and you're like, oh yes, I was supposed to be breathing. And then you go back into your breathwork pattern, and that's perfectly fine, perfectly normal. And just trust the process. And you can work through about 3 to 5 of those little sessions of the in and out of that beautiful conscious awareness state. And this is especially very good to have someone guide you in this. So this is where I do have some visualization, meditation, mindfulness type practices during the time that I'm guiding you on this type of breathwork pattern, because we want to make sure that you're in a very safe, calm place, and I can actually guide you through different sections of this so that you're doing sets of this, and that way it's intentional that you're taking some of those blissful times and blissful opportunities to allow for whatever needs to come through spiritually from your soul, from what you're experiencing emotionally, mentally, to come through. And you want to start with, as a beginner, like 10 minutes under guidance. And then for intermediate, you can extend up to 20 minutes. And for advanced, you can practice this for 30 to 60 minutes. And it needs to be guided. It can be, if you feel super confident as an intermediate, just going up to 20 minutes, then you can self-guide. Just have some maybe relaxing music in the background or something that can give your body an awareness state as you're coming back in and out of the consciousness. And it's not just like going unconscious necessarily. It's more of like subconscious or superconscious. And for advanced, it is recommended if you're going all the way up to 60 minutes of this work, because there's going to be a lot of rising, you want to be under support from someone. So I would recommend that you practice this with us at Resonance at one of our Resonance retreats and in one of our workshops, and with a trained facilitator. We also do these online in some of our courses, so you can always check in on those and when the next opportunity is for a live call on that, and then we'll be able to guide you in a safe place for going through this. And it can be so powerful for healing from PTSD, traumas, and stress responses that you've had throughout your life. And it's just a beautiful opportunity for your system to really heal on so many profound levels. All right, so now let's go into some of the other emotional and spiritual dimensions of breathwork. Beyond just the physiology, breathwork connects us to our emotional and spiritual dimensions of trauma release. Techniques like transformational breath can help release stored emotions trapped in the body. Energy flow, pranayama, one of the practices in yoga that aims to move the prana or the life force, chi energy, through the body's energy channels. And this helps with balancing the chakras and promoting spiritual growth and cultivate mindfulness and self-awareness, and then partnering any type of breath work with mindfulness meditations and visualization, such as what we do in our courses at Resonance. This fosters a deep connection in the present moment, as well as in universal consciousness and with your soul, with your true spiritual self that is the most authentic version of you. You're able to experience that feeling of being home and being in that deep and profound aligned emotional space. And that can be so important for bringing that into your all day, every day type of experience. So the practical applications of breathwork, in summary, breathwork is so versatile and it can be adapted to suit various situations and goals and intentions for it, as you've seen. So for stress relief, try the diaphragmatic breathing or the alternate nostril breathing for a calming, relaxing parasympathetic effect. For energy, focus, mental clarity, use the Wim Hof or the Kapalbhati to invigorate the body and the mind and to stimulate and activate the energy. For emotional healing, explore the holotropic breathwork or the transformational breathwork to process deep-seated emotions and traumas and some of those deeper emotional mental layers that may be harbored in the subconscious or in the somatic body. For enhanced performance, like whenever you're ready to work out or really upregulate the amount of blood flow to your system and amount of oxygen in your tissues so that your body is ready to perform a really healthy type of movement series, you can practice some Wim Hof breathing as well as some box breathing, and you can follow the Wim Hof breathwork with a series of box breathing afterwards if you're wanting to switch into and out of the hypoxic to the hyperoxygenated state. The box breathing is a way to improve focus and resilience under pressure and parasympathetic function with it, and gets you out of your head, helps you to focus on something else for a moment if you're needing to get out of a stress response, bring in more emotional resilience. And there are so many wonderful ways that you're able to apply this throughout the day too. So starting your day out, you can start your day with diaphragmatic breathing if you're just wanting to kind of come into a very consciously centered place where you're connecting with your body. Or you can practice like Wim Hof to activate, to energize, to get excited and stimulated. You can also practice fire breath, which is a series of 9, 18, 36, or 72 breaths. And that's where you're breathing in and out with half a second in, half a second out, so that you're breathing very intensely and you're actually flexing all of the different diaphragms. You're flexing your abdominal diaphragm that we think of primarily, and then the pelvic diaphragm, and also the diaphragm within your esophagus, the diaphragm that's at the back of your palate, and the diaphragm around your ventricles that are the little lakes of the cerebrospinal fluid in your brain that can help with pumping that cerebrospinal fluid and clearing out toxins from your nervous system. So fire breath helps to bring up the intensity, fire, and energy as well. And that could be a very important aspect to help out with how your system is regulating for balancing some of the energy centers. So with each of these sets, you'll do three sets of the fire breath and these are rapid breaths where you're flexing your hands in a fist position with each of the breaths and a little undulating movement along your spine. And that ripple effect, that wave pattern, is actually helping to pump that cerebral spinal fluid up and down the spinal cord. Of the cerebral spinal fluid flow is pumping to carry out those toxins from your nervous system and from your brain. And after you do half a second in, half a second out, where you're breathing in and out, in your nose, out your mouth. And you will then block your nose and you'll breathe in and out without actually moving your breath. It's just flexing all of those diaphragms. So you continue that pumping action. So for beginners, you'll do 9 breaths of the actual breath work, and then 9 breaths with just flexing those diaphragms, where you're keeping the breath internal with your nose pinched. So no breath is moving, your mouth is closed. And then for intermediate, you'll do 18 breaths. So it's doubling 9. And for advanced, you can go to 36. And that's where you'll do 3 sets of those for each of you, for a beginner, for intermediate, and for advanced. Now, it's a lot of like diaphragmatic flexing too, so it really builds deep core muscles and stabilization for your spine. Can be very beneficial and healthy. And with each of those breath patterns, you're focusing in different areas of energy centers. So it's like focusing in under the navel, focusing down at the root chakra, and then the third set will be focusing right around the third eye, like at your forehead region. And that's to just bring the intention, the focus, and the energy to these areas. And then after you finish the fire breath, then you just take your arms out, bring it up, and that just helps to bring your energy back into your body that you just raised up with the breathwork pattern. So that's the fire breath, and that can be a very beneficial one to start out your day with, because it brings in a lot of energy and fire to your day, and is a really good way to click in. And then you can follow that up with, like, say, a series of 3 to 4 of the Wim Hof breathing methods, and that really helps your system to have all that energy, focus, mental clarity. It's a great combination. You can practice some breathwork patterns for getting into a coherent state mentally, neurologically, and in the heart coherent space. And so enhances sleep, helps you with the REM sleep, deep stage 4 sleep that's very restful and regenerative for your system. Box breathing is great for this, or you can practice a 4 to 8 breath where you're breathing in for 4, inhaling for 4, and then you breathe out for 8, and that helps you to get into a deep parasympathetic state. And you just do a series of, you know, maybe 30 of those breaths, and you'll notice that you'll be very relaxed after that. Yet breathwork, you can practice some slow nasal breathing after physical exertion, right before physical exertion. You can, you know, really breathe into some of those hyperoxia states whenever you're prepping your body for going into physical exertion. And then afterwards, you practice some box breathing or slow nasal breathing and parasympathetic function breathing of twice as long out as you're breathing in. Then that really helps you to balance the recovery and also to clear some of the lactic acid, so you don't have as much of the soreness afterwards. All right, let's finish up the episode by talking about a few intriguing facts about breath work that you may not have known. Slow, deep breathing is indeed associated with longevity. Breath work can directly influence gene expression, turning on or off genes related to inflammation, immunity, and stress. And it also influences the epigenetic expression of just how the genes are influenced by our own functional medicine approaches. So, like, whenever we add in supplements or dietary approaches or lifestyle movement practices, our epigenetics actually will respond better whenever we add in breathwork at the same time to these lifestyle practices. Emotional release, transformational breath, and similar methods allow suppressed emotions to rise and dissolve, promoting healing. So many different wonderful little reasons for why we should practice breathwork. So as we come to the end of today's episode, I hope you gained a deeper appreciation for the power of your breath. Breathwork is more than just a wellness trend. It is a bridge between science and spirituality and a tool for mind, body, soul transformation that has been used for millennia. Whether you're looking to reduce stress, enhance performance, or deepen your connection to yourself, there is a breathwork practice for you. And the beauty is that it's accessible, free, and always with you. I encourage you to take just a few minutes each day to explore your breath, to reconnect with the innate intelligence of your body, and to experience the profound shifts that it can create. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey into the science of breathwork. Until next time, breathe deeply, live fully, and stay resonant. I am so excited to share with you about how you can work with us here at Resonance for guided breathwork sessions, mindfulness practices, meditations, visualizations, and profound transformation within your system, in your wellness journey, physiologically, biochemically, nervous system regulation-wise, and from a mind-body-soul point of view. So it's every different level up-leveling you through the four different pillars of abundance. And this is in wellness, abundance in feeling good, feeling most optimized, feeling incredible with the balance of neurotransmitters and hormones and nervous system regulation and the way that your system is optimized and cleared of whatever blocks can happen within the nervous system to that resilience in wellness. We want to help your system to be at its optimum state. And abundance is also in another pillar of wisdom. And this is nervous system wisdom of bringing in information, how you're actually expressing this wisdom and expressing yourself from your authenticity, from alignment with exactly who you are, and the way that you show up in your relationships and with your friend groups and the people around you. It's so beautiful whenever you're able to bring in the wisdom and have full capacity to receiving this wisdom without the blocks of difficulties with memory, focus, concentration, or just even mental clarity, having brain fog. That's all blocks to receiving in wisdom. It also is important for you to feel alignment with what you're passionate about and actually to be able to bring in more of that. What lights your soul on fire and what really energizes your batteries and refuels you and helps you feel the most like you. And there's also another pillar of the sense of well-being in emotions or the wonderful emotions and like joy and bliss and peace, happiness and harmony. And these states are so important. They're so dependent on so many different neurotransmitters to be in the right balance in the nervous system. And many different mindfulness and meditation and visualization practices can actually help with upregulating these regions of the brain that can help with producing the right levels of the neurotransmitters. So you feel these beautiful abundance of joy in your life and actually experience life in this extremely fulfilling and expansive way. And the most important part of abundance is that we have, when we have all these different pillars in place and you have this beautiful, optimized daily routine of going through meditation practices, visualization, go through journaling and breath work and intentional practices of movements and aligning yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally with what your intentions are, what your goals are, what your passions and interests are, as well as your manifestations and what you want to create more of in your life, then you amplify that ability, that freedom to actually have wealth and the abundance of wealth in your life. So you bring in more of that. So you show up better in whatever career, whatever role it is that you have, and you're more aligned with what it is that you do, and you know and love your passion for what you're doing in life. If you're starting your own business, if you're an entrepreneur and you're creating, if you're putting out projects and you're in alignment with what it is that you are authentically passionate about, that's when it's so easy to just generate wealth into your life and feel that abundance come in. And that directly plays a role in all the other pillars, because when you have abundance flowing in wealth, then you're also able to spend the money on a wellness lifestyle that you love, that self-care that you enjoy, and you don't have to restrict or limit yourself. And you are able to invest in courses and programs and things that give you inspiration and bring in wisdom to your life, books that you love, you're able to take the time and you have the freedom to actually digest and take in the information and appreciate that wisdom that you're coming up with and that you're bringing in and how you express it. You have the freedom and the time to actually express without having to be so stressed out or centered on or focus on like paying the bills or living from paycheck to paycheck. So that plays a role in that. And of course, in the joy, the bliss and the peace and happiness, the emotions of that expansive, beautiful consciousness level of your life, you're able to experience that more. So every single pillar is integrally dependent on each other. And that's what Dr. Maximilian Ulmer and I have created in the Abundance Blueprint course. So what we want to do is offer to each of you all to come and experience this. I know that you are going to absolutely resonate with it, that you will absolutely love it. I've poured so much energy and passion in from the functional medicine and functional neurology standpoints and this very aligned way that helps you to bring this into your daily life. Dr. Maximilian Ulmer has been practicing this for years in his own life and is bringing you ancient wisdom that was passed down in lineage specifically to help transform cultures. And it's incredible because you're going to experience this duality of all of this wisdom that we're pouring in, all this energy and this love and support for this beautiful, wonderful opportunity that you have for up-leveling in your life. So I'm so excited for you to learn more about it or to get involved. It's a membership, a community. It's an opportunity to be around like-minded individuals and to get your soul lit on fire with your passion, with what it is that you absolutely love doing, so that you can just send out this beautiful force field of light, love, peace, joy, happiness every single day in all that you do, and that you're living the life of your dreams. You deserve that, and you deserve that now. So take that step, whatever it means for you to align authentically and to have support and guidance to help you transform your life today. Sending you all so much love, a big huge hug, and I cannot wait to join you on your journey.